The Palm versus It's Yahweh's Feast. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. We have some great things going on today. Man, the world is falling apart everywhere we look. This film, I wanted everyone to see that. You need to remember it. And I was just told, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I was just told before I came up here that they've come up with a new process for, they have the meat scraps. And of course, this has been a waste because some of the meat scraps there come from choice steaks. So they've found a way now to use parts of the blood of whatever animals they want to use. It's legal, I guess. But they use this to mix with the scraps, and it glues it back together, and then they can slice it into choice meat then and sell it for a higher dollar. Now, it's been outlawed by the EU, so I understand, but it's legal here in the United States. Of course, this mindset that we have in the world that I was talking about yesterday that started with, it went down really rapidly in the 60s. The diseases, as it went down, the diseases started to climb. And of course, a lot of you have lived through this last days with me, and you've seen this take place. Coming, of course, from Hollywood, that's the number one teacher of the Catholic Church. And they use that and the news to get their voices heard throughout the world. Speaking of voices, if you're in the Metroplex, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, the banner, we have found them. They're holding services in Abilene. the two witnesses. As a great sign that Yahweh has told us, his prophecies are coming true. He predicted this before it ever took place. He showed that knowledge would increase before it increased. In this generation, he told you what generation, if you could imagine that, what generation that knowledge would increase. In the days of Daniel, they were living like they were when I was born, without electricity, without pumped water through water lines, without sewer lines and flushing commodes. None of that was present in my lifetime when I was born. And of course, all of it has come in the last 100 years. The increase of knowledge. Now think of that. Yahweh tells you the increase of knowledge, but he also tells you when it's going to be in the Holy Scriptures. That's quite a project, don't you think? Could you do that? Could you do that? No. No, nobody can but Yahweh. Yahweh makes the statement that only he can foretell prophecy. And of course, the prophecies that he foretold, that's one of them. In the last days, or as Yeshua said, the last generation, you're going to see this knowledge increase, but you're also going to see, if you remember Matthew 24, about verse 12, sin increase. How could he do that? It had to be a greater mind, right? Is this sinking in? Is it? Tell me. Come on. Look at me. Tell me. There is no way that a human being could do this on his own. There is no one outside the Holy Scriptures, outside this book we got here, that has ever done this. Now that is a feat, right?
Yeah.
Right? Praise Yahweh. Now I know we agree on that. And I want to get you deeper into this, because Yahweh says, with this also comes the defilement of mankind. And because this is the reason I keep telling you, you got to come out of the world. We can't keep one foot in the world and one foot in the house of Yahweh. It's beating through your feet and right into your brain. Any little bit, Yahweh shows. Any little bit. That's the reason he is so relentless. His judgments are so relentless that no, you're going to burn in hell if you don't get your foot out of the world. And I stand side by side with him telling you the same thing. You keep fooling around with this world and you're going to burn. And praise Yahweh. Every 60 seconds now, more than 17 young Americans contact a sexually transmitted disease. That was prophesied. Because sin abounds, so does, so do the diseases, the defilements. Every minute, every 60 seconds, more than 17 young Americans. They're not counting the older ones. They're crazy too. They're out here fulfilling their lust, using pills to boost their sexual energy while they fulfill their lust, and go from person to person. This is how stupid it is. And of course, their minds are getting more confused all the time. That's the reason you see so many crazy things taking place, like this food that they're serving over the counter. It seemed like that there's some people in the UN that's got, you know, that doesn't have all of this confusion that we have here in America. But of course, it's being pushed here by the United States, by the Catholic Church who runs the United States, because Satan is pushing them. So you know why they're pushing it here? They're hoping to get me. They're hoping that I'm going to get caught up in this and somehow stop the work of Yahweh. And all of you people that are following me, you're like the Galileans that followed Yahshua. They want you dead. And that's the only reason that Satan could be pushing such a goofy thing as we've just seen on television that brings forth this crap right here that I just read you. Well, the World Bank warns of a soaring of food prices. That could tell us something we don't know would help. You know, the price of food, the cans that used to cost three for a dollar are going up $3 for one can now, I think. Birth defects. Now, I told you there's 8 million annual worldwide yesterday. Well, that's not the facts. They told me this morning we were wrong. The 8 million that they have is not all. This is only the one that is genetically of genetic origin. This is the one that's implanted in your body by your sexual sins of your fathers, your mothers, your grandfathers, your grandmothers. They're planted in your body, and you gave them to your children when they were born. That's a genetic origin. That's what we're doing to our bodies through following the world. Yahweh says it's going to come to this. He prophesied all of this back in Genesis, way back in Genesis. Well, before he ever established this family that he works with, before he ever established them in Jerusalem, before they ever came out of Egypt. And he told you this. Yahweh is the greatest being in the universe, brethren. You could follow men, but they're no smarter than you are. If you don't follow Yahweh, you're sunk. If you don't get these prophecies and scriptures in your mind and make an effort to start believing and following them absolutely, you're not going to be part of his kingdom. He's not going to allow sin in his kingdom. Praise Yahweh. Birth defects, he says, they're born. 8 million are born with a serious birth defects of genetic or partially genetic origin. 8 million. Now this is worldwide, annually, every single year. There's 150,000 babies are born each year with a birth defect in the USA alone. Now get this one. Here's one that proves the point that I'm trying to get people to understand. Gonorrhea. They thought nothing of it when it first started making waves. I remember that I was in the State Board of Health Laboratories at the time, and we had penicillin. We were trying to get the news out to the soldier boys because the soldier boys were eat up with gonorrhea. And it was spreading like crazy. We made a film, and I would I had that record, but when I was working there, we made a record, I mean. It was one of the older records. I think it was a 25 RPM. We sent it out to the soldier boys, to the armed services, to play in their camps. And it was about a redheaded woman named Katie. That's the way we got the message out. And the soldier boy was lonely, even though he was, he's one of those that was schooled at Harvard, I guess, and or one of the other Catholic colleges. So he goes out to the bar to get drunk before, so he can stand to look at this dog, as they call them, that's the way they think of their women. I didn't put that in the song. I'm just adding this from yesterday. But we put it in the song about Katie and how the soldier boy went out and he was lonesome. So he went with this redheaded woman named Katie, and the next, few mornings he woke up with a rash on his face. And, of course he didn't know what it was. Well, we told him what it was in the song. But he got some medicine out of the medicine cabinet, a cure for all ills, and he put it on the rash, and lo and behold, it went away. And we told him in the song, it hides in your body. And later on, it will reappear in your children and in your grandchildren and so forth. And it comes down to where it can cause you to go blind and so forth. Well, we had penicillin, and we thought then, that it was killing it. Some did. I said, how do we know that penicillin's killing it? If it hides in our body from a salve, how do we know that the penicillin actually got rid of it? We don't. You can't find it. It's just the fact that you can't find it. I don't think penicillin ever stopped it. I think it just kept growing, turned into other mutations. And, of course, we have it today coming out big time in this generation. Well, here it says gonorrhea bacterium has picked up fragments of human DNA. I don't know if you know what this means, brethren, but it's part human now. So your body doesn't resist it anymore. It just readily takes it in. And, of course, as a result of this, it mutates with other things in your body, causing your DNA to change. That's the reason you're being born. People are being born with an eye sort of here, down here under their chin, or an eye here where their ear is supposed to be, or in the back of their head. That's become a real saying now, eyes in the back of their head. Well, we're having all kinds of deformities because of this. But my main thing that I want you to understand is Yahweh told you before it ever took place. And the goofy preachers that followed the Catholic Church into its rebellion, you know, they are as much to blame as the Catholic Church is, because they won't buck up against them. As a result, Pakistan tests fires nuclear-capable short-range missiles. This is the end result of the sickness that we see in the world today. Okay, I want you to go back now again, if you remember where we left off yesterday, and we were studying in Genesis 49. And I want to go back there to this prophecy because it includes us. That's just Genesis 49. It includes the work today where we actually ourselves bind Yeshua to the horns. I'll just tell you that right now, just the horns of the altar. And this includes this prophecy, but you've got to understand this in order to understand how we do this and the end result of this binding that takes place here. But in Genesis, Genesis 49, we're seeing here the prophecy of what is going to take place with this family that Amosha said, of all the families of the earth, yours is the only one that I'm working with. And I will have no other works, except the seven that I put forth. Well, where did he put those forth? Where did he show you? In the lampstand. Remember the lampstand that he gave to Moshe, and he said, make all things according to this pattern. Well, that, of course, is being brought forth for 6,000 years, making the things according to this pattern. In that pattern, of course, was two altars. One for the butchering of the sacrifice. Remember that one? Where they tied the sacrifice to the altar. That was one. Had four horns that they tied the sacrifice to. They bound him with cords to the four horns. Well, of course, those four horns represent something. But they had another altar besides that. And I'll tell you this now because I want to get your interest where you're going to really pay attention to what I say. Don't miss one word of it or I'll have to go back and start over. I told Gohan Benaya that when we were on TNP Lane. I said, if you don't get this first part here, you won't understand but when we get deeper into this lesson. Well, when we got deeper into the lesson, I said, Benaya, I told you to begin with, listen to the first part. So I went back and I started again. And I covered it again. I got over a little bit deeper into it. It was the third time before he listened to that first part. And then he said, oh, I see now, yeah. Well, if you don't get this first part, you won't get the other. But Yahweh is predicting this, and he lays out a pattern which he keeps in heaven. We see this in Revelation. Yeshua is standing there with it at this time, guiding the work that's going to bind him to the altar. Not the altar of the sacrifice. He's not going to be sacrificed again, but there's two altars with four horns. Remember that. One of them, and this is what confuses the commentators, one of them was supposed to be inside the Holy of Holies, but it was not placed there. Wonder why? As you ponder on that, we'll start to work on this thing again, but it will be explained fully, and you will see our part that is played right here when the scepter changed hands in verse 10. The scepter, this is a beautiful prophecy, as I pointed out yesterday. The scepter won't depart from Judah. It didn't. It didn't. Any history will tell you that. Judah ruled Jerusalem, or Yada ruled Jerusalem, along with one other tribe that looked like they were married, and they worked together, a very strong, ruthless tribe, but they ruled Jerusalem, and Yada was always the lawgiver. That's what that word scepter means. He was always the lawgiver. That tribe, the tribe. It's not speaking to the person here. This person was dead and gone and before this pattern was given to Moshe of the kingdom. They were given other things. They were given Yahweh's laws and maybe even told about it. But when it was actually given as a pattern and set in the tabernacle of Yahweh under Moshe, these people were not there to look at it. In Exodus now, let's go over, well, let me see where to go back to here. Genesis 49, what verse here? 2. Gather together, first off, notice the last two words in verse 1. This is to take place, this is what's going to take place among these families, but it also intermingled with all the other people of the earth. So it includes all the earth now at this time. And in Yukiska, he brought that out and said, this is what's prophesied for the whole earth now in the last days, pointing to this prophecy here. So did Isaiah. He said the same thing, showing that Satan, though, was the leader of what is taking place right here. And she's the guide, but she's not going to win out, if you remember. One prophecy said Gad was controlled by the troop. I brought this out years ago, the troop of demons. And that's Revelations 9 says they still won't repent of their worship of demons, if you remember. Well, that's that troop of demons that yet Satan uses as a guide to mankind in this time period to, of course, deceive mankind to keep them from believing what the prophets spoke. That's the only difference in the house of Yahweh and the rest of the world. We believe what is written by the prophets. They don't. Well, he starts then with Reuben in verse 3. He says, gather together in verse 2. Gather together and listen, you sons of Jacob. Listen to Yisrael, your father. And then he starts giving the different things. And notice in verse 4, he shows the defilement. Now, it came to pass in detail, this prophecy right here. Let's go to chapter 12. Hold your place here in Genesis. And let's go to chapter 12 of Exodus, chapter 12 of Exodus, and get this part right here in your mind, chapter 12. And we see here, chapter 12, 1. Now, you could mark a date here over this chapter if you want to. This will help you in your study. 1491 was when this took place right here. 1491, and Moshe saying, this is going to be the first moon of the year to you. Now, you know what that means. This is what we're celebrating right now. This will be the first moon of the year to you. The first moon, taking the lamb. The lamb, of course, was Yahshua Messiah that this was looking forward to. Your lamb must be without blemish. I told you earlier, there is no lambs on earth today. Speaking of animals that are unblemished, you can't find one anywhere. No lambs, no goats, no nothing. And he says you must keep it up until the 14th day, and that's the feast we're celebrating here. Now, in Genesis 49, we read down to Exodus 12, 1 through 6 there. And then in Genesis 50, let's go to Genesis 50. Genesis chapter 50, and look at verse 19. But Yosef said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of Yahweh? You intend harm against me, but Yahweh intended it for blessing in order to accomplish this day the keeping alive of many people. Now, Yosef is trying to explain this to his people here. So there was a teaching going on there with them at that time. He says, verse 21, "So then, do not be afraid. I will provide you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. So Yosef stayed in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Yosef lived 110 years. Then he died, of course. Verse 23, he lived 110 years, and then he died. He was born in 1635, if you want to mark it there in verse 26, BCE 1635. He lived 110 years, which he died in 1635. I'm sorry. He lived 110 years, which made him born. He was born in 1745 BCE. Got that? Everybody got it. Okay. Now look at verse 23. "And he saw the third generation of Ephraim's children." Ephraim, that was in chapter 49. He was one of them. Remember? The children, look at verse 24. "And Yosef said to his brothers, I am about to die, and Yahweh will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now, this is a prophecy, of course, of what took place in Exodus, which was 200 years later about. But he is telling them what was going to take place here. A prophecy from Yahweh that was going to take place. "Then Yosef made the sons of Israel vow an oath, saying, Yahweh will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Yosef died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in the coffin in Egypt." Placed in the coffin of Egypt. In Exodus now, we read where they're getting ready, and this was in 1491. If you want to subtract that 1491 from when this took place in 1635, you can see this was hundreds of years later that this was taking place. Now, if you go back to Genesis again there, Genesis 50, keep that in your mind right there. Genesis 50, I've got to get this all together here myself. I was rushing to get this together. I've never been so busy at a feast in my life as I was this one, as I have been this one. I hope you're the same. Now, Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, if you'll go there, Leviticus, let's go to Leviticus 1. Leviticus 1. Now, this was written in 1490. That's 1 year before Exodus here. Exodus was, the first chapter of Exodus here was written in 1490. From 1490. And then if you look at Leviticus was written in 1491, which was 1 year before the Exodus. 1 year before the Exodus, Leviticus was written. So Moshe was teaching this to Israel 1 year before he gave them this in chapter 12. Chapter 12 was actually written in 1491. 1 year before they started making plans to come out of Egypt, which was in chapter 12, where he says, "This is the first lamb of the year. This is the first moon of the year to you." 1 year before that, Now, he gives you Leviticus, the book of Leviticus. He says, and Yahweh called Moshe and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any of you bring an offering to Yahweh, and you shall bring your offerings from the males of the herds from your flocks, if the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tent of meeting. So you can see here we have a tent of meeting that he is teaching these people in. Now look on over to chapter 18. Chapter 18 of Leviticus. Chapter 18. Leviticus given, that is, it was taught to the 12 tribes, 1490. In 1490, it was taught to them. What you're seeing right here in Leviticus 18. You see that? Now, if you look at verse 20, and you see him warning them about defilement. If you remember, the bed was already defiled in Genesis 49. Remember that? And he points out, this is what's going to take place in the last days. This is going to come down to you, and it's going to be the worst ever, as all the prophets said. Look on down to verse 23 and see this one. Look at verse 22 at the Catholic Church. The great Kohan Yehuda, he has some great things to bring about the history of the Galileans in Oklahoma. They called them Indians, but they were the Galileans. And of course, they wrote a prophecy, if you remember. I'd like for y'all, if you have time, to get that. Now, I don't remember where I put it, but I remember we brought this out a few years ago about the prophecies about a white buffalo. We didn't know that there was so much prophecy concerning a white buffalo in the Holy Scriptures. But the great David Yehuda Hawkins is going to bring you that. And one of the things that Yahweh showed that they would be bringing it at Abel. And one of the things was he would be teaching peace, but he'd also be teaching health. Now look at verse 24. Do not defile yourselves in these ways. Now, of course, he knew that the people was going to be defiled. He knew that because he's already prophesied. But he knew that others would actually believe and obey. And that's what they did. Now look at verse 25, that the land also is defiled with this. With the same defilement that he shows you right up there in verses 20 through 23 and 24. The land is defiled with it. Well, now we know that it's not only the land, but the atmosphere. The atmosphere, the firmament, as Yahweh calls it in the Holy Scripture. And then verse 27, he shows you again the abominations. This is brought forth by the abominations. And then again in verse 30, what they call abominations, which you see them in Leviticus, the 11th chapter. Let's go now to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel 1, this book covers a lot of time. In fact, from 1171 to 1056, and it's one of those prophets that believed here. And he says in verse 1 here, 1 Samuel 1 and verse 1, he says, there was a certain man from Ramathim, Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite, Don't let that throw you off. He's just an Israelite. That's all. But he had a name. And of course, his father had a name, grandfather before him. Don't start thinking it's another race. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and Hannah is the one that I want you to pay attention to because she was a very righteous woman. Verse 3, this man went up from his city year after year to worship and to sacrifice to Yahweh Almighty at Shiloh. We know now that is Abel. Abel, of course, was in Galilee, and that's where the work was going on. Now, this is after now they came out of Egypt. You got that? This was in 1117 to 1056. Remember, from 1490. So we come down to here now, and we got this righteous man and a righteous woman. The two, and we're in verse 3, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of Yahweh, were there. The priest of Yahweh. The priest of Yahweh were always fought against by those who weren't priests of Yahweh. And the priests of Yahweh at this time were in Abel. That's where Moshe was taught, if you remember, by Jethro from the burning bush, the bush that never burns up, which is the olive tree, never goes out. And there's Jews in Israel that know this. In fact, the first year that I went there was in 1982, and I took a tour, and the guy laughed when he said, "That's where the burning bush is." Well, I laughed at him, and I said, "You're not serious, right?" And he said, "No." I said, "Well, tell me about it later," which he did. He didn't have all the truth, but he had a great deal of it. But they always point this out and saying that's where it is. Well, it's, Mount Sinai, the one that they clumb yesterday. They clumb it again last night, but they didn't. Still climbing it. Well, here, verse 7, it was this way year after year, continually. This way, year after year, when she went up to the house of Yahweh, she, Hillel, Lucifer, Satan, provoked her, making her weep and not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? Why are you downhearted? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" Once when they had finished eating and drinking at Shiloh, that is, at Abel, the house of Yahweh, at one of the feasts, Hannah rose up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat, that is the judgment seat, that you see, I brought this out in the teaching of Ruth and Boaz, if you remember, he was the judge, by the doorpost of the tabernacle of Yahweh. Look on down to verse 11, and she made a vow and said to Yahweh Almighty, and of course the priest heard her, he said this to the priest, "If you will truly look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to Yahweh all the days of his life." A son. Well, of course, his name was Samuel, as you see in verse 20. I'll skip most of this. His name was Samuel. Well, Samuel, if you read about Samuel, you will see he was a relentless judge. He was also very merciful, but he was a relentless judge. And then, of course, if you look over to 1 Samuel 16, you'll see that he involved someone else. 1 Samuel 16, he involves someone else that involves the Savior. Chapter 16, look at verse 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him, that is David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day forward, the Spirit of Yahweh came upon David. That is, he was taught the laws of Yahweh strictly. And of course, this was done by Samuel, who was a very righteous priest, and he befriended David. Now, if you remember all the scriptures that I brought, I get emotional. It's not like I'm weeping or crying, but I get emotional thinking about this great plan and how Yahweh has just carried it out, you know, in detail. But he anointed David, and then, of course, from David, Yahweh brought David in, took over Jerusalem, where Genesis 49, Yada took over the temple mound in Jerusalem, where David moved the worship from the hills where Yahshua spoke to the Samaritan woman, they call it, and said, she said, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, but you say it is Jerusalem where we should be worshiping." You remember that? And Yahshua said, "I'll tell you right now, the time is coming when they won't be worshiped in either place here." The priesthood will be taken from you and moved to a foreign land, a foreign land. Well, of course, he was speaking of the prophecies in Zechariah 4, 5, and 6, where Zechariah says there's a land, a Babylonish land, not yet developed. And that's where two witnesses are coming from. They're coming to. They'll be born there. And they'll bring forth and establish the house of Yahweh in the last days. Well, see, this was the plan, and you see how the prophecies are all fitting together. Well, here's King David now, and from King David, remember, a sprout will come out. And then a vine will grow from that sprout. And then branches will grow from that vine. Now, remember all of that, all of those prophecies, because you see it just step by step here as you go through it, once you get these things in your mind. And Yahweh is guiding all of this, as Yosef told the family there at that time. He says, "Don't fear now. Yahweh is going to take over this family. And he's going to bring all of this about. And he's going to take you up to the land promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Well, of course, the rest of the prophecies include, of course, the Savior dying in that place, in Jerusalem, ascending to heaven. He died by the four horns. He actually was killed by the four horns, which we'll get into that in the next lesson. But he was actually killed by those four horns. He was bound to them. If you remember, it's the same language in Revelations where it says, is bound in the great river Euphrates, these powers, bound there in that area. It's bound in that area. Well, of course, this is what this means. Yes, he was tied with cords and everything like that, but he wasn't actually laid on top of the altar by any means. But he was bound to that altar and four powers that those horns represent. Four powers that is shown. Man, quit this. Sorry about that. The altar of sacrifice. Yes, he was tied to the wood, yes. Nailed to it, in fact. The wood, and then they piled up the wood on the altar, but he wasn't put on top of the altar and burned up. No, but he was bound to that altar, and the four powers that killed him. All the congregations of Israel had to be involved in that sacrifice of Yahweh's lamb. That's what was shown to Moshe, and Moshe said, this will be the first moon of the year to you, and on this year, this moon, you will take a lamb without blemish, and you will do thus and so, showing Yahweh's power over the gods, or over the troop, over the demons, over, as Yahshua said when he cast these demons out, he asked them the name, and they said, we are many. Well, he's talking about the troop that also governed Gad, that the prophecy said, they will control you, but in the end, you will win out. In the end. Now, that was a prophecy in itself that we're involved in these last days, in this time period, when these same four powers that are represented before the throne of Yahweh right now in heaven, remember, make all of these things according to this, and that was part of it, the altar of sacrifice and the altar of incense. Well, what does the incense do? Takes your prayers to Yahweh. You tying it together? Okay. We'll make it plainer as we go. Let's go back now to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. And notice again now, verse 1, this is the last days. The last days. And that he is prophesying it. The other things here has come to pass. He took them out of Egypt, set up a nation. And then, of course, Yahshua was sacrificed. And he says, but in the last days, he gives that to you that it's going to come forth from this family. As Amosha says, of this family, let's go over to Amosha and read it. Amosha 3, chapter 3, verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Speaking, of course, of the children of Israel, verse 1 shows you that. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. I will purify you. That word is not punish. But it has to do with chastising. So someone put punish. Yahweh doesn't punish you. He corrects you and helps you. As Yahshua showed in his example, he was just like Yahweh. So he helps you to overcome and gives you space of time to repent. Yes, praise Yahweh. But it means to purify you. Yes, he's going to purify this family. And in our time period, you're going to see this. Not the ones that lived and died there. They'll be resurrected later, and they will be given an opportunity to know what you know and make a rightful decision. I doubt if very few will. I think probably there's very few of them that will actually be burned up and got out of the way forever. I think. Well, one of the apostles said all of them will be saved. But the scripture doesn't show all of them like we think of the word all when we say all in English. But the Hebrew means there the greatest majority. It means the majority of them will be saved. Well, here now he says, you only have I known of all these families, speaking of Genesis 49 here in the last days. He's speaking of this family that he took into Egypt, and then after a certain time period, brought them out of Egypt, trained them, and had them take over this land where the Savior would be killed, where they themselves would make this sacrifice of the Savior. That's the plan for mankind, the perfect man that never sinned. And they bound him. He was bound for the sacrifice of the Lamb to take away the sins of the many. Now, that word, they used it correctly, but it's the same word Same speaking as says all as one of the apostles used. Okay, and then down in verse 7, he says, verse 6, he asks, will evil be going on, but Yahweh not have a work? Is he not out here trying to save a million souls? No, he's not Billy Graham. He doesn't have a million soul crusade going. Crusade, I wonder why he used that word crusade. Same reason he went to see the Pope, I'm sure. Most assuredly, Yahweh will, verse 7, will have no other works. Now, the works that he showed are seven works that also set before Moshe. The seven lampstand, along with the four powers, we're seeing in very much action today. Those four powers are being seen, and they're actually going to be converted. Yes, they are. Watch, they're going to come over to you. That's what Yahweh says, and that is what is going to take place. Those prophecies are as sure as the ones in Genesis, and they're going to take place. And you, brethren, that determine now in your minds that you're not going to put up with sin any longer, you're going to get it out of your body. You're going to be here to start teaching them and to train them, teach and train them, send them back out to the nations to do it right the next time. And they will learn war no more. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.